Wyatt.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best and Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is our 2020 preview show.
Oh, is that what we're doing?
No, it's the 2021 preview show.
Oh.
Because
that's what we're doing?
I got the year wrong already.
Good start.
Yep. But we're going to take a look into the future of this year and talk about some
of the games.
We're
going to speculate and prognosticate.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Well, prognosticator. Butts off.
Yeah, a lot of these things are not speculation. Like, these are games that we know are coming out this year. Some we have solid release dates for up until about the end of March, and then things get more nebulous, which is kind of the way things have been going with the Switch for the past few years. You know,
yeah.
We get better ideas for when things are going to come out about 3 to 6 months before they come out.
Nebulous?
Nebulous, yeah.
Unclear and exact.
Oh.
Yeah, opaque, maybe.
Yeah. Hmm.
So... Oh, so what I've done is I sent you guys each the list. Wes, did you read the list?
Didn't know we were doing a podcast.
Did you watch the video playlist that I sent you?
I gave a video playlist? I didn't see that.
Oh, well, my bad. It's probably in your inbox. I sent it after I sent the list.
Came here expecting to do game night. And you're like, all right, let's go record the show. I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, we were going to do game night, but there's some... The kids are on a trip with Grandma, and things got thrown for a loop, so we're kind of recording early, and...
Don't tell me. Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Coming home from our house.
Oh, wow.
Christmas Eve.
Jeez. Oh, tough times, man. 2020.
Oh.
Rest in peace.
So what we'll do is we'll go
she's
through these.
Dead.
Oh, really? Just horribly
No, yeah, she's fine.
She wishes she was dead.
Terribly disfigured. So we'll go through these games, and what I'm going to do, some of these have release dates, some of them don't have release dates yet. But just like...
No, the mic picked that up perfectly. Keep opening your bottle. That's great.
I mean, I can't stop at this point.
You could have started before we recorded.
I could have, but then we wouldn't be having this conversation.
John.
So what we'll do is, we'll mention the game. If you have anything to say about it, you can. But then we'll give like a 1 to 5 scale, like how excited you are for the game. 5 being, you know, absolutely, the nips are so hard, the little cut glass, like...
Yeah.
Day one purchase, and then you'll probably take the day off of work.
See, that's not accurate, though, because the nips so hard, they'll cut glass. That's just my standard neutral state.
Okay, well, something like a normal person, then.
Just okay, we're going with the normal.
Don't use your weird body as a standard.
Yeah.
Think about what other humans are like.
I mean, I had to swatch my shirts sometimes midday, just because it just tears.
Yeah, because they tear the holes. I've seen that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, like a 4 would be something that you're probably going to purchase, and then down from that, like a 1 being absolutely zero interest in the game at all. So, starting off in the month of January, in just a couple weeks here, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
Mm.
The retro-style beat-em-up game is coming out on the 14th.
I'm surprised it hasn't already come out. This feels like the kind of game that would already have been on the Switch.
It was supposed to come out in holiday, which I think they're just missing the 12 days of Christmas in there. But, you know, it got a brief delay. And this is a weird game because it came back on the PS3 in that generation. Never came to a Nintendo system before, but then it disappeared. Like, it got removed from the PlayStation eShop, not for, like, reasons like Cyberpunk, because it's not a total shit game. Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, by most accounts, is a very good game. A very good beat-em-up.
Yeah.
But I like that we get, like, these cool side-scrolling beat-em-ups. We pretty much, like, get one really good one a year. Like, River City Girls, Streets of Rage 4, and now Scott Pilgrim looks like it's the game that's gonna...
I owned this on my PS3.
You
it
do?
It is there. It is downloaded. It is on my PS3.
Very cool.
Yeah. I won't be buying it on the Switch.
Did you play it at all on your
PS3? I did. It's actually really tough.
Did you...
Well, at least I remember it being really tough.
Did you ever play cooperatively or just go solo?
Just solo.
Mm.
I didn't have friends.
That's one of the cool things that... that really interests me about the game is that there are up to 4 players cooperative,
yeah.
Which is really cool.
I mean, the guys... I mean, I never played a whole lot of beat-em-ups and everything like that, and so, I mean, I played more with you guys.
Uh-huh.
So now it's probably not going to be as tough for me, so I've played them a little bit more.
Yeah.
But at the time I remember playing this, I'm like, this is kind of brutal.
Mm.
Dog, I'm trying to eat my cookies and cream... Hershey bar.
They're not a sponsor. Don't say what it is. It's not a sponsor. They don't sponsor us.
Candied
snack.
Whatever. My snack.
Yeah. I'm
trying to have my snack.
Your rectangular.
My rectangular,
yes.
Individually gritted snack of chocolate.
I was going to say chocolate snack, but it's not chocolate. It's not even close to chocolate.
There's chocolate in there.
Is there?
Those are those little cookie bits. That's chocolate cookie bits.
I think those are just rat droppings.
So I'm gonna give.
I mean, they do crunch like rat droppings.
Yeah, a little burst of flavor.
I'm gonna give Scott Pilgrim a 4. I'm gonna buy this game. I think it looks really cool. Wes, you're not buying it. You already own it.
I'm chewing.
Right.
I don't know. Put me at a 3. I'm interested to play it with you guys, but this is not something I'm going to jump out at.
Okay. Cyber Shadow is out on the 26th. This is a 8-bit style sort of retro action game. Yacht Club is publishing it, but they're not developing it. Yacht Club, you might know from Shovel Knight.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. Looks kind of like Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah.
I mean, since Yacht Club made it, I'm immediately intrigued.
Yacht Club is publishing it. They're not developing.
Oh, never mind. Not less intrigued.
But I'm pretty excited for this, and I'd give this one a 4 as well.
It's like Yacht Club is aware of it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll buy it.
Atelier Ryza 2 is a RPG of sorts, also very heavily crafting game, a very anime style. That one's out this month on the 26th. The first one also came out on the Switch and got a little bit of a cult following, which, you know, good for it.
Okay. So what do they sacrifice to their god?
Oh, probably small animals, maybe owls.
It's an interesting choice.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that one looks interesting enough. I did catch... let me back up. The Atelier series, going back to like the PS2, PS3 days, this has been going on. It's developed by a studio called Gust. Tecmo Koei publishes it. And it's always been like this very like whimsical fantasy anime style stuff, and a lot of the emphasis, as far as I was aware, was just like on crafting things, just like going out, gathering your loot, bringing them back to your little shop or something, and just building shit. And
I see that the pre-order comes with a poster of one of the characters in a bikini.
Oh, sign me up.
So it's that kind of game.
Get me the pre-order.
And that's an awfully big poster, too. So, I mean, that's almost life-size, really. Yeah,
she's Asian, though.
So I can put it above my bed?
Yeah, so it's life-size.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. This game looks ridiculous and stupid.
Above my bed? That's going next to me in my bed. Over the top of a pillow.
Okay. Well, that's going to, like, crunch a lot as you're, like, rolling over in your sleep. Do you toss in your sleep at all?
No, I actually sleep pretty still.
Okay.
Do you use a weighted blanket?
No.
I get very warm. Like, sometimes, like, in the summer, I don't even use a sheet. I'm just...
I mean, I roll a little, but not drastically. Like, okay. I'll switch from my side to my back and side to my back.
I toss and turn.
But I'm not, like, rolling all over the place.
Ryan knows.
Don't even use a sheet, though, man. You're like a farm animal.
Right. Like, right. Just me in the mud. with the fan on. Like, I'll have a fan on, and there's not even using a sheet. Anyway, neither here nor there.
I can't do that.
Little Nightmares 2 is coming out February 11th.
John's going to give this a 2.
I am so fucking stoked for this game. I'm giving it a 5. I'm so happy this game is coming out. I really like the first one. I really dig the art in this game and the sort of adventure style puzzles that you have to work your way through. It's kind of like if Eco was a horror game. Is Little Nightmares. Really, really excited for this one.
Yeah, pencil me in for like a 4. It might be one of those games that I just impulse purchase during February, but otherwise not like an immediate buy.
I'm intrigued by it. I mean, I never actually played Little Nightmares. I watched you play a bit of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Were you there for that panic-inducing part where I was being chased by the big blubber?
Big fat guys and the... Oh, man. Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, no. That part. Pulse pounding. Because they catch you. Like, you're going to get a checkpoint, but they're going to eat you. It's going to be gross.
It looks like a game where everything is made of sausage.
Yeah.
You know? It's a really really nice art style, but it is pretty grotesque.
Yeah,
in the truest sense of the word, you know.
Mm-hmm. Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury is February the 12th.
The frick?
I like that Mario guy. It's first party title.
Yeah. And the only first party title that we've spoken about so far, a couple months into 2021. It's a Wii U port with some added content. They haven't really said what the plus Bowser's Fury actually means, but in typical Nintendo fashion, when they have like the plus something, there's usually like an extra little mode or something. So don't quite know.
Oh, Bowser's Fury? Yeah. It's going to be like Fatal Fury.
It's
going to either be a brawler or like
it's a 2D fighter.
A 2D fighter, I think.
Yeah, Bowser is no longer going to just be kidnapping people. He's going on a straight up murder rampage.
I think so. It's overdue.
He's just gonna see like toad heads scattered all over the place.
And toad bodies. He's gonna bite the heads clean off.
Oh, okay.
It's one of those things where
he's a dinosaur. Come on, he's a giant dinosaur turtle.
You know, he could wreck. It could be like the end of Rogue One. You know, where it's like you really finally get to see what Darth Vader is capable of when he just wants to let loose and party a little bit. So I'm sure Bowser is capable of equally gruesome destruction. And that's what it's going to be, of course. We nailed it. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. It's a Wii U port plus that extra content.
Yeah.
Ripley really likes this game. I actually have not indulged in any of the Wii U ports for Switch, except for games that I bought for the kids as gifts. I might grab this one as well, just because Ripley likes it so much. It is a four-player Mario game. Mika likes it, too. They're, like, running around as the cat characters.
It's another port. Can we get something new?
Don't worry. We'll get there. We got Scott Pilgrim, Cyber Shadow, Little
Those
Nightmares.
Are new. Little Nightmares is the only thing new, and that's by indie company. I'm talking about new Nintendo games.
Cyber Shadow. Cyber Shadow's new.
Wait till you hear what my most
But that's
excited...
by the Yacht People.
So? Oh, you're looking for... You know, if you're looking for first-party Nintendo games, you're going to be sorely disappointed.
I know. I am.
There's the most exciting one on here. Just wait till we get to it.
Okay.
Of the confirmed release dates. Ooh.
I mean, that's just... Nintendo's like just...
You want to talk about...
feet up and relaxing right now. I don't feel like they're really...
You know there was a pandemic, right?
Still...
You know, they were on lockdown. Then they're not the only company that had delayed things. Some companies release things when things should have been delayed.
I think he's talking about something specific.
I'm talking about something very specific.
don't stick up for them.
Persona 5 Strikers is coming out on the 23rd. I'm playing through Persona 5 on the PS4.
The main guy looks like Tuxedo Mask from the Sailor Moon series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny. Like a younger version of him, though.
Mm-hmm.
Not him as at his peak there during the...
Kind of like, who's that one? What did the Robin that was supposed to have been killed that became a bad guy?
Jason Todd?
Yeah. It's like if him and Tuxedo Mask had a little baby, it would be like the guy from Persona 5.
That's actually pretty accurate, yeah.
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 It's more of a straight-up like action game rather than a RPG like Persona 5 is. By most accounts, it's a pretty solid game, but I'd give this one a 2. I like Persona, but I like them for the RPG elements, and I don't really play a whole lot of like these action-style games.
I need to try one of these Persona games. I need to borrow yours when you're done with it. Well, okay. When I have time for it.
There is a lot of time management.
I'm fine with that. I'm going to borrow your pen, because I have a list of video games in my wallet that I want to get to.
And
so I'm going to add
Persona 5.
This Persona 5 to my list.
Yeah.
Mid-podcast.
Well, that's a Rizuo one that we talked about earlier. The
Ryza?
Ryza. The character design and stuff looks like garbage. This actually looks really fun and interesting. This looks like a fucking fever dream of a game.
Like the...
This is super, like, bombastic, colorful stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep, very whimsical.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I
wanted to add to this the other day. I can't remember what it was.
I'm sure this is, like, going to be, like, a AAA title. This is probably going to be, like, a $60 game. You think?
Yeah, when it initially releases.
The game looks interesting, but not at that price tag. I don't know. Again, if it is that, I mean,
it is kind of.
We shouldn't,
like
It
is kind of like a B or C tier RPG franchise, similar to some other games we're going to talk about, like East 9, Rune Factory, Trails of Cold Steel. It's kind of like in that vein, which a lot of these games are coming to Switch, which is cool, but, you know, they're like a tier of RPGs that, you know, will eventually probably be on pretty deep discount.
So unless you're, like, a super fan of that genre, you may want to, you know, pass on these and go for the more marquee brands.
Yeah, such as Bravely Default 2, which is coming to the Switch on the 26th.
Finally.
I'm also at a 5 for this one. I'm really pumped. There is a new demo... But I haven't played the new demo because it is a sort of a slice of the game that's past the prologue, but your save doesn't carry over. So if a save is going to carry over, I'm really not interested in playing these demos anymore. Like, I've become spoiled to demos. I'm like, here's the first part of the game. And then when you buy it, you just continue. Like, I don't want to have to repeat anything that I'm going to be doing in a demo.
You're some bitch.
Yeah.
I feel like you're going to like this game, though.
I am going to like this game.
I see menu trees and
there are
four characters fighting a big thing.
There are party characters. The battles are very strategic. You have to know when to...
Their heads are giant.
You have gigantic heads of the size of their bodies. They're like 50% head.
It's like bobblehead mode from NBA Jam.
There's a job system and you mix and match skills.
Also,
it
says Bill Clinton's a playable character.
Oh, that's amazing. That's
weird. Yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah, he's the rapist character.
Oh, hey.
That's his job.
How's that not a playable class?
Well, okay, so now we're all Bill Clinton fans. All of a sudden.
Jeez,
okay.
That's a...
It's called like
a low blow, yeah, it's low blow. All right.
I just call it like a sea.
I see what you did
there. Yeah, there you go.
I'm a whale biologist. Ghosts and Goblins Resurrection is coming out February the 25th. This is the 2D action game from Capcom. Nice.
Begs the question, why hasn't this happened in like a million years?
Right.
Like a legit new installment of the game where they're trying to modernize it and like still keep it true to the, you know, Ghosts and Goblins, Ghouls and Goblins, whatever you want to call it, formula.
Ever since, it seems like the PS3 360 era, Capcom had this weird... Or I guess maybe it wasn't so weird, but they had this sort of transition where they tried to become more of a Western developer. Well, you look at the games that they started releasing when games moved to HD, they were much more trying... They're trying to capture the Western market because the Japanese gaming market was very much on the decline, moved more toward mobile games. And what ended up happening was a lot of their franchises that really hadn't received all that much franchise care, but they fell even more by the wayside. Things like Mega Man, Ghosts and Goblins, Darksiders, or Darkstalkers, sorry. And... things like Street Fighter to a certain extent, Bionic Commando, all these things either became more Western or got forgotten completely. But now hopefully they're kind of trying to recapture some of their older franchises and bring them back to the forefront. We saw a new Mega Man entry. Ghosts and Goblins is getting resurrected, as it says in the name. But I don't really particularly like the art style, so I'm giving it a 2.
Yeah, I have no interest in this.
Again, without price tags, honestly. I hate to say to be that guy that price drives a lot of these decisions, but I'm sure there is a...
Price is a thing. I mean, yeah. If it's a cheap enough game...
But it's a Capcom game.
If you're somewhat interested, you're like, oh, I'm not sure, but it's cheap enough, they're like, all right, I'll try it out. But I mean, if you're like, oh, I'm not sure, and it's like $60, like, I'm going to pass.
Yeah,
I am
genuinely intrigued by this game, and I like the older games. I know that they're notoriously difficult.
What's the price point you need this at?
If this game were like $15, $20, I'd probably be in on it for sure.
I don't think this is supposed to be a AAA entry. I think this is probably going to be it might get a physical release, but I doubt it. If I were to take a guess, they priced Mega Man 11, I think, at $40 when it came out. I think it would probably end up around that neighborhood.
Also, here's the thing, and I guess it's probably the next title you're going to talk about.
Capcom Arcade Stadium?
Is a 5 for me. This is like a must buy.
Yeah, cool.
This looks fucking for real. I can't believe this lineup is coming up. Like, for starters, like a game I grew up playing as a kid. I don't have an NES anymore, but I have an NES cartridge for Legendary Wings.
Nice.
I cannot wait to play this game again. Bionic Commando is on here. You get the original Goblins and Ghouls and Ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
I already have Final Fight on SNES, whatever. But it's there. That's cool.
Well, then these are
bunch
the actual
of Street Fighter titles.
These are the actual arcade versions, so you know you're going to get definitely better versions than on
true
NES.
Yeah,
and the arcade version of Final Fight actually has co-op in the
no shit.
Final Fight 1. Yeah.
Oh, very
so,
cool.
Which, whereas the
are
SNES
we going to beat up game, ladies? Is Poison going to be in this one?
God, I would hope so.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this it's a really interesting way they're sort of like rolling these out as well, because to download the I suppose the program itself is free, and then you sort of like pay for the different game packs that they put out. And again, they haven't set a price point yet.
Oh, okay, I see.
But it's also like they're not doing like a la carte like they would with a virtual console where you're just paying for all these things individually.
I assumed it would be one big price tag and I get all these games.
But you know, if there's games that you're not interested in, maybe they'll all be sequestered off in a pack that you don't have to purchase.
Well, two absolute purchases, unless it's one of those things where it's like I have to buy 10 games to get them, but like Legendary Wings and Bionic Commando. Like, I don't know if you guys ever really played Bionic Commando.
Not much.
Game is incredible. It has a really interesting game mechanic involving a grappling thing that moves you around the levels, so like there is no jump, but you might think like, that sucks that I have to use a grapple, but it's sort of like the better you get with the grapple, you feel like a fucking ninja. You're like Spider-Man up there doing your shit. Like, it's really, really cool.
Hmm.
It's a fun game.
Harvest Moon One World is out on March the 2nd. Wes, I know you're pretty excited for this.
Yeah, you bet. Mm-hmm.
And you know,
there's cattle in it. Big cattle.
There is cattle.
Oh, sign me up.
Yeah.
I'm also putting this one at a 1.
The frack was that?
I'm also putting this one at a 1. I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch a video or look at some screens of this one. A lot of times people use you know, it looks like an N64 game is like this sort of like hyperbole and kind of give it an eye roll. This one's not too far off from, it does not look impressive at all.
Out of all of our old systems, what's the one that people are least nostalgic for and looks like poop?
Which is funny because like Harvest
Let's make a game that looks like that.
Because people do have some nostalgia for like Harvest Moon 64, but I don't think that... The Harvest Moon series has gone through like this weird transition where the original developers aren't making it anymore, but the company that holds the license is still making the games, whereas the people who originally made Harvest Moon now do the series Story of Seasons, which is getting a new entry 3 weeks after Harvest Moon One World comes out. Story of Seasons Pioneer Town. I also give this game a 1. I don't really care about these E3's particular franchises. But if you look at them back-to-back, Harvest Moon One World versus Story of Seasons Pioneers of Olive Town, there's like a generation of difference just in the visual style and like the features and the activities you can participate in. Now, Harvest Moon, like I don't know like anyone who would look at the two games back-to-back and say, yeah, Harvest Moon's the one I gotta get. Whoever is making Harvest Moon should be embarrassed. Yeah. Should be embarrassed and apologize.
How dare they?
Balan Wonderland is coming from Square Enix on March the 26th.
Can't even figure out what this game is about.
It's a 3D platformer.
Yeah.
Or action game.
That is nebulous.
Yeah.
That's nebulous.
Yeah. I would give this game a 1 in terms of my excitement. They showed a bit of it at a Nintendo Partner Direct a few... it must have been a couple of months back at this point. It did not look good then. It looked very sluggish. They have not shown anything. So... I don't see how they muster any sort of excitement for this one. It kind of seems like they're sending it out to die.
It looks like they took the characters from Splatoon and said they're no longer squids, they're humans.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got Cappy.
Oh.
And then just were like, here's a game.
There we go.
There you go. Go ahead. Game. Have at it, everybody.
Everyone play it or don't. We don't seem to care.
I can't really, you know, this doesn't look particularly interesting.
Mm. Monster Hunter Rise does look interesting, though. And it comes out the same day on March the 26th.
You know what's wild about this one? It's like an RPG, an action RPG of sorts, and there's Japanese people in it.
Yes.
And it's not anime.
Right.
Wild.
Yeah, it has like a more like feudal Japan sort of aesthetic to it, which is cool.
This may be a 5 for me, because I really enjoyed Monster Hunter World, and I got to look a bit more into it.
Like what Ryan was saying about Bionic Commando, I think the zip line that you're equipped with, and you kind of like sling around like you're an Attack on Titan, I think that looks like a really cool mechanic. I'm pretty excited for this one as well. I would give it a 4, but it's something that I'm definitely going to be purchasing at some point. I think it looks really cool. I really dig the art style. I dig the...
So we got by at the same time, though, so we can
get a,
actually play us together.
Okay.
And get going on
this. I'd be down for that. You going to buy day one?
I don't know. I have to take a look a bit more at it.
Okay, we'll have to... We'll come with a plan.
Well, says pre-orders get a retriever costume.
Oh,
for
a
your pet.
Careless about that. What the... Oh, God.
I don't know. This is a pretty accurate-looking retriever.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped. So from there, we'll just move on to... These are games that just have a nebulous... There's that word again. That's the word of the show, apparently.
You said the secret word!
Just a 2021 release date, no specific month yet, but they are confirmed for 2021 so far. And some of these you might recognize as games that were supposed to be in 2020 but got delayed. So we got Braid Anniversary Edition, and it's a pretty significant facelift from the original version of Braid. Huh. It was a cool little indie game.
Yep.
You guys ever played Braid?
Nope. A little bit, yeah.
It's a blast from the past.
Yeah. It's one of those like... I feel like it's like the OG indie game, you know, that people really were like, oh, so like indie games can have really clever game mechanics or do new things or interesting things.
It was like Braid and like Cave Story. It was like the grandma and grandpa of the sort of indie scene.
Because they kind of messed with the way that things look based on how you kind of turn it, the quadrant of the camera.
And then instead of like dying and resetting at a checkpoint, you just rewind.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is something that a lot of indie games still do. Games like... Did Inside? No, I can't remember. But the one I talked about last week, Shady Part of Me, has that has that sort of a rewind function. Blue Fire is that iNinja looking one that was announced last year. That one got pushed to 2021.
I'm looking that up. That I'm intrigued by this.
Yeah, man. Yeah, because iNinja was a fun little game.
I really enjoyed iNinja. That was a great game.
And then Blue Fire looks a lot like iNinja, except it's got a little bit more of like a, I guess maybe a sci-fi twist to it.
I mean, just by it looks a little darker than iNinja.
Sure. And but like a lot of the mechanics look the same. Like you're kind of like platforming around and running on walls and stuff.
I think I'm muted.
Anyway, Disco Elysium: The Final Cut is coming to Switch in 2021, which is a pretty prestige game. That's a game that
that's like all about the conversation trees and stuff like that. Yeah, I remember this game when it didn't it come out 2018, 2019.
No, it was 2020. Was it? No, it must have been 2019.
I remember it sweeping up all kinds of awards for storytelling and narrative and things like that. I'm pretty excited to play that game. I think that'll be cool. Oh, a buddy of mine played it too and raved about it. So
yeah, it's kind of pitched as an RPG, and I think that might be because people don't really know how else to categorize it. It might be an RPG in that you are like building your character by engaging in these conversations and putting different points into attributes. So they're sort of like stat building.
Yeah.
But as far as I know, there's no like sort of battle system. You're in this open world and you're just going around.
It's supposed to be the consequences of how you handle conversations.
Yeah.
Determine what happens. So like, you know, there may be a shootout, but it's because you talked your way into or they're into one.
Hmm. And you know, I think that at a certain point, there may need to be a sort of reckoning to kind of further fragment, like talk about these genres. So when you're having a conversation, you're like, oh, it's an RPG. Okay, well, what do you do in battle? Well, there are no battles.
I mean, this is not to get into some sort of deep discussion about it, but isn't every game kind of a role-playing game? If you're playing a basketball game, like I'm role-playing as a basketball player.
Right. And sports games also have that sort of like stat building and stat management.
I'm Bill Clinton. I'm on fire. You know, that kind of thing. RPG. Standard stuff.
But yeah, like, I don't know. It just becomes like this term that's a little bit too big for the genre you're trying to describe. Because especially because, you know, Western RPGs are very different from Japanese RPGs, and sports games have all these elements. And even shooters have, like, elements of RPGs where you're getting different guns and augmenting your stats and leveling up. And I think just because you're, like, leveling up and building stats, don't think you... That's got to be something different.
Well, you're the one with the film degree, too. But as I understand it, it was originally, like, when you told a narrative and like you told a story, it was either classified as, like, a comedy or a drama, right? Mm-hmm. Or a tragedy. And the tragedy would just imply that it's going to have a shitty ending.
Right.
You know? So, it's sort of like, you could say a game is an RPG or an RTS or whatever, but does that really tell you anything about it?
Right. And you know, when... It is similar to films. It's sort of like the closest touchstone to video games, but genres are useful when you're talking about films because it sort of informs you about what you're going to be watching. It kind of unconsciously feeds you like the sort of expectations you're going to have, and that is useful when you're making a movie because you can live up to those expectations, but you can also undermine them to surprise the audience and do things to hit them with something unexpected. But it becomes like there are genres that don't really mean much, but there's a lack of way to describe them otherwise. So the difference between like back when film was first starting out, the difference between comedy and tragedy was in a comedy or a comedy and a drama was in comedy no one really gets hurt. You know, there's physical comedy or, you know, people are inflicting pain on each other, but there's no real damage being done. Whereas, you know, in a drama, you expect that, you know, the characters or at least the protagonists may not be the same person at the end.
It's like Grease versus Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah. <It's> like... But then, you know, like horror has become something totally different because, you know, the slasher film. Like, psychological thriller is just another way of describing what horror used to be.
Yeah, now you have, like, you know, now it's termed, like, a psychological thriller versus, like, a spy thriller.
Mm,
tells you the kind of film you're going to get into, even though both can have elements of the other.
Right. Anyway, I think it just becomes so convoluted that you have to continually reorient what these genres actually mean. Anyway, Disgaea 6.
To put a button on that, yes. I'm going to play Disco Elysium as a comedy.
Oh, that'll yes. be fun. Yeah. Disgaea 6, Defiance of Destiny, that's a long-running strategy series. I've played a couple of these. I've never really enjoyed them too much. I'd give it a 2.
Yeah. So you're gonna defy Destiny, huh?
Yeah. I'm not buying it. It is my destiny to buy it. I defy that. Mm-hmm. Saga Frontier Remastered is a remaster, as you might guess, of Saga Frontier, which is a PS1 game. Looks all right, but there's so many RPGs on this list.
Yeah. Who cares about that right now?
Yeah. It's destined to fall by the wayside. Spelunky 1 and 2. Have you guys ever played the Spelunky games?
No, I've heard of them. We've discussed these before, haven't we?
I don't think we've discussed them specifically. They're sort of like, much like in the way that Braid is a sort of grandfather of indie RPGs or indie games in general. Spelunky 1 and 2 are these kind of the precursors to what we see as like modern roguelikes or roguelites.
Oh. Yeah, I don't care then.
Yeah,
I'm kind of a 2 on this. I'm kind of on the fence. I don't.
Yeah, I don't much care about these games either.
But there's only so much roguelites I can take, and right now, Hades is defying.
It's playing Game of the Year.
Game of the Year, Hades.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, he's making a face. Are you not liking it?
No, I'm liking it.
Okay.
No, I'm liking it. That's what I'm saying. I'm surprised. Like, this is the only roguelite.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Glad to hear it.
You'll hit that wall where you suddenly hate it.
Yeah, exactly. After I die for like the 80th time, I still haven't completed a run. I'm like, fuck this and everything about it.
A couple of games that I am excited for: Shin Megami Tensei Nocturne Remaster, which is a remaster of the PS2 game, and Shin Megami Tensei 5, the new entry in the Shin Megami Tensei series, both coming to Switch in 2021. And I've talked about these games before. I like these games. You guys know this.
Yeah, you talked at length about them.
Yeah, combining, forcing demons to
combine. You're fusing them together, destroying two living creatures, making them into one new living creature.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a bunch
against
of,
their will.
It's executions. You are recruiting these people to help you on your RPG quest. Well, these
and you
people,
thank
these
them
RPGs.
By murdering them into something else.
And you thank them by destroying their existence. Yes,
but I mean,
because they become too weak.
They're zealots. It's a cult. They're you know they'll self-immolate for the cause.
Well, they better.
You know,
there's still be consequences. No, I mean it's of course. Compared to Pokemon a lot, because it is very much about collecting your monsters and making them part of your team. The difference is you level up faster and the game levels up faster than they will be able to keep up. So there is this necessity to say, you're no longer useful. I'm murdering you to make something better. But I like these games. Always a very like grotesque art style, very Baroque art style. Very hardcore RPGs. These are not RPGs. Yes. These are not Japanese RPGs that...
Hardcore in the sense that there's a penis chariot.
I was just about to make a joke about the penis chariot.
It's hardcore in that there's a lot of imagery that is not safe for children. But also, it's not like a Dragon Quest, where it's going to be very friendly in the way you progress through the game. This game is going to be very mean. And I'll probably have to spend quite a bit of time leveling and tinkering with the team in order to find the best way to proceed through dungeons. That's what I like about these games in general, is like every time you go to a new dungeon or a new area, it's populated by new demons, and you have to figure out, okay, here's the ones I'm going to be up against. How do I construct my party to most efficiently make my way through this?
And how do I convince these demons to come with me so I can murder them later on?
You know, they've made it a lot easier in the recent entries in the series. Like, I played most recently Shin Megami Tensei 4 Apocalypse, and that game was pretty friendly in how you recruited demons. And I recently, within the past couple of months, plugged Shin Megami Tensei 4 back into my 3DS and was going around recruiting demons. And it's real difficult to convince them to join your side. And then Persona 5 also uses that same demon recruitment system. I have not failed once to recruit someone into my party. I can just say whatever to them and like, yeah, okay, I'll join you. Which makes you think, like, why bother having these dialogue trees at all? Like, if you're just ready to catch it.
Yeah, exactly.
Just throw your Pokeball and catch your demon.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it'll get harder as the game goes on. We'll see. No More Heroes 3?
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited for this one. I think about a 5.
Yeah, it's got to be a 5. I mean, there's no reason not to.
Yeah, I like these games.
The other two were so good.
Mm. Did you watch... it's funny because there's not really a whole lot of footage out. But yeah, it looks like a lot more Noomer here. He's got like your wrestling moves, really bright, bombastic colors. A very obnoxious looking game, which is fitting because he is a very obnoxious character. I'm pumped. Ryan, you have any attachment to the No More Heroes series at all? You ever play any of these games?
I played one of them on... I think maybe actually both of them. One I beat. The other one I kind of just like... I think I got a little bit through. Back on the Wii, right? These are Wii titles.
Yeah, these are Wii games.
Way back in the day, I remember this. It was good. I remember playing them around the same time I was playing the game Mad World.
Mm, yeah.
And I thought Mad World was a little more simpler and achieved kind of the similar goal. But that said, like, I remember enjoying the No More Heroes franchise. I'm not rushing out to get this one.
Mm.
And I remember there being a lot of like mini games, like Lurie's mini games.
You had to.
Yeah.
That's how you made your money to buy your new swords and
Even access and your next missions.
Yeah, to buy other missions. Yeah, like entry fees or shit.
Yeah. Monster Hunter Stories 2: Wings of Ruin. So this is sort of the more turn taking branch of the Monster Hunter series. I don't know. I'm not really all that interested in this one.
It has stories in the title, man. You hate that.
Yeah, there's probably going to be a lot of text that I have to skip through.
Yep.
So, and you know.
Getting that A button ready.
with other RPGs like Bravely Default and Shin Megami Tensei, you know, like I only have so much time in the day. And speaking of other RPGs, Nioh: The World Ends With You, which is a sequel to the DS game that came out like 10 plus years ago, is getting a sequel on Switch, and that's one that I'm a lot more interested in.
Hey guys, remember that game that we probably sold a couple hundred thousand copies of 10 years ago?
Right. But I love that Square Enix has shown up to the party here with Bravely Default and The World Ends With You. Like, this is cool that it's not just, regurgitated Final Fantasy stuff and more of that, which, you know, I would of course play, but I like when Square Enix gets weird.
I was joking earlier about Game of the Year Hades, but we did talk a little bit about that list of Polygon's like top 50 games of the year, and there were some interesting things on there, and one that came up was that Final Fantasy VII was like their top 5.
Yeah.
You know.
And I'm excited to play that one because it does look like a very different take. They didn't just make Final Fantasy VII with prettier graphics. They went back to the drawing board on a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Wes knows. He's played some of it.
I'm watching the No More Heroes trailer.
Oh, is it the really long
one?
Oh, God.
Yeah, the one with the alien?
Yeah, I didn't watch all of that because I was very confused about what was happening.
Yeah, I'm super confused right now.
Because I don't think they actually show any gameplay either.
No, it's just this weird thing with an alien.
Anyway. Wonder Boy. Asha in Monster World. Another one of these Wonder Boy games. Which is, what were the ones that we played? Wonder Boy Dragon's Trap?
Yeah, what is the secret to his powers?
Yeah.
And then what was the other? There
it's cock push-ups. That's the secret to his power.
There was another one, wasn't there, on Switch?
Yeah. There was one that came out, and I didn't play it at all. Like, I really liked that first one, which was essentially a rebuild and redone NES. Was it an NES game? No, it was like some other console, right?
That originally
came out on. But yeah. I mean, it was an 8-bit game originally.
Yeah.
It did a lot of really forward-thinking stuff for the time that it came out.
Yeah, I remember being really impressed by the sort of almost Metroid-like mechanics within terms of like backtracking and exploration and the 8-bit version of Wonder Boy. But then because like you could just on the fly swap between the modern and the retro art style, it kind of traps them into like not being able to refine it anymore. So you always had to backtrack if you wanted to change the sort of power that you have.
I bought the soundtrack on vinyl. It was like great. The music was incredible. I hope that they've stuck with that sound because it was this really lush orchestral score. It sounded beautiful.
I don't know if they stuck with the sound. They did not stick with the visual style. Rather than having like this 2D like hand-drawn animated look that they did in the other Wonder Boy remakes, they went with like a polygonal 2.5D look, and it looks bad. It looks real ugly.
Oof, that's tough then.
Yeah, I don't know why they decided to update the visual. They could have just continued making these games in the engine they already were. Like, they didn't have to change any of the visuals. It's a very strange decision. I don't know why they went this way. Sports Story is this year, 2021. I'm pumped.
Yeah, that's fine for me. Yeah, I'm about with this one.
Yeah, I'm all about Sports Story. Hopefully we get a release date pretty soon. But
yeah
they've there's of course more golf and as well as other sports. I think they show like basketball and like tennis and shit.
Only thing I hope does not come back is golf.
Yeah,
that really was a waste of time,
and it's totally ignorable too, which is good.
It's kind of like even in Celeste had those passages of the game where it was an even more simpler version of what Celeste was.
Yeah,
and that was kind of interesting. It was a fun little diversion every once in a while, but golf in and of itself was just so pointless. And like, because they made such a refined game. Like, for as, you know,
it's
for
a legit
that
good
retro
golf
style.
It's
know?
A good golf game.
It
like,
really
it's,
is.
It's really fun. And I hope that because they're introducing other sports, like, I hope they don't, like, reduce the amount of golf courses. Because I think the original had, like, 9 courses, which I think sounds good. So I hope they don't, like, okay, here's 4 golf courses, plus all your other sports. I hope they keep, like, golf as a main focus. Axiom Verge 2 is also 2021.
Yeah, I liked the first one.
I did put me down for a 4 for this one, as well as Sports Story. I'm really excited for both of those.
A 4 on Sports Story?
Yeah.
Why not a 5?
You poser.
What the hell?
Because,
what's going on here, John?
Just, will you let
he
me
hates fun. He hates fun. You heard it. He said it.
So, like, a 4 is still a day one buy for me. Like, I'm still going to get Golf Story, but, like...
Then what's the point of having a 5?
5, like, is, like, the top echelon of excitement. Like... If you start giving everything 5s, 5s lose their value. It's like, this is how I like rate Netflix stuff too. Like, if I'm rating a movie on Netflix, like, it had to like, be a wreck at
so
the
like,
end of it.
What is the 5 for you then in other scenarios? Is that like when you peel the plastic off of a new electronic device? Or is that, you know, like maybe when you get tickled so much you fart? what is a 5 translate to you, if not
what's a movie that's a 5 to you?
Fight Club.
Okay.
Chungking Express.
I've never even heard of that movie.
That's okay. It's a Hong Kong art house movie.
Okay.
I don't know. I'll go through my Netflix rankings and like read off my 5s at some point. But like video games that are 5s.
Galaxy Quest?
No.
Oh, fuck you, man.
I mean, that's like a 4 for me, though.
Shut up. Fuck you guys. Video games that are 5s. Final Fantasy IX, Twilight Princess, Code Veronica, Super Mario World. You know, these are... 5s are few and far between. Axiom Verge is a 4. I'm excited for that one.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Are you guys interested in Axiom Verge?
No.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah? I think it was...
Probably about 5.
Okay. We're just getting 5 everything 5 now on, just so we can just demonetize the 5.
Let's just nuke this from orbit. 5. I got it at 6.
I like the
I'll die if I don't get to play it.
Axiom Verge 2 looks like a much more like fantasy inspired side scrolling like Metroid style game, as opposed to Axiom Verge 1, which is much more like sci-fi, almost Cronenbergian.
The color palette's pretty, like, gray, brown, dark tones and colors. Like, so, from what I saw of Axiom Verge 2, it's going to be a little brighter.
Mm-hmm. A lot of cooler colors. Like, a lot of, like, blues and greens. More like naturalistic.
Totally fine by me.
Yeah. Card Shark. That's the card negotiating game.
Yeah, where you're kind of allowed to cheat at cards, but there's a, penalty if you get caught doing so. Mm-hmm. This game looked really interesting to me.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever really seen a game like it, so that alone makes it kind of worth looking into.
Yeah, I'm not all that interested, but it's a cool idea.
Yeah, it's a 5.
Wes gives it a 5.
Yep, it's 5.
Eastward is a cool looking little indie RPG. It has a very colorful but very busy art style to it. They cram a lot of stuff onto the screen. It reminds me a lot of like Spirited Away, in the way that there's just a lot of stuff to look at. It looks very cluttered to its benefit. I think it's a very neat looking game.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I can see that.
So I give it a 4. I think I'm probably going to get that one when it comes out.
Yeah.
Trails of Cold Steel 4 is coming to the Switch in 2021 as well. I played the demo of Trails of Cold Steel 3. I don't think I could be any less excited for an RPG.
You know what's so... This is so wild about this game, right? Is, like, there are devotees of this franchise. People that say that this is not just a great RPG. This is one of the best RPG franchises, right? You hate it because you hate story.
I do.
And this is one of the most intricate and complex stories.
It is.
With character interactions and how much, like, literal, verbal, recorded dialogue is in it. You know? So...
So the
you're demo, totally turning your back on this because you just you're gonna again spam A through it.
The demo really soured me on this because like the demo opens up when you can actually engage in fights, but you're kind of like engaging in fights where all of the characters kind of are already sort of like developed for you. So and the battle system seemed interesting because there are like team ups you could do between characters, like your position and the type of attacks you're doing mattered. Your sort of range and where you're going to take hits next. It all seemed very interesting. It was like, okay, I'd like to like be able to take a step back and go through like the tutorial sort of battles so that I can really understand how these systems work. Because I was just able to spam my way through the beginning of the demo, and then it hits you with like 30 minutes of cutscenes. And I watched one for like 10 minutes, and then I kept on like doing cutscene after cutscene. And I was like, never mind. If you're not going to let me play the game, have it your way. I'm not going to play the game.
Trying doesn't like fun.
Clearly.
I was trying to get to the fun. If I wanted to watch a show, I'd turn on a show.
It's about the journey, John, not the destination.
I was trying to get to the journey. I was trying to get to the game part.
Don't you ever find yourself in a scenario where you fast-forwarded through so many things that it's like, quickly, it like just comes up with a screen with like a 5-second countdown, and it's like yes or no, and you're like,
all the time. And I have to remind myself, it's an RPG. It doesn't matter which one I pick. It doesn't make a goddamn difference.
You're like, yes, and then a planet off in the distance.
You're like, see, the little poof. 5 billion people have died. Now, East 9, Monstrum Nox is also 2021, as well as Rune Factory 5, so a couple more B-tier RPGs.
Yeah, I'm eating crow on that. I made fun of that series for so long for not dropping the price on their game, and they dropped the price, and I didn't buy it. So, I'm a jerk. Sorry, East, you're probably a good game.
By most accounts, like the one that you're talking about, East 8, is a pretty solid game. Yep. But these are, like we've been saying, these are the B-tier RPGs. Like, they get a lot of credit because of, like how earnestly they try. You know, they're not Final Fantasy 15. They're not like these big spectacles.
Yeah.
The cover disturbs me.
Of?
Rune Factory 5. It's just this one dude and a bunch of chicks around him.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like a harem anime. Like, it's just, yeah, like, I'm going to pass on that.
He's going to be at this Casanova. Like, that's
yeah,
that's
like, Rune all Factory. The girls want to bang him. It's yeah. just, that's all this is.
Hey, and the dudes.
Well, I mean.
He's an equal opportunity.
He does have a kind of feminine face, so I mean, I guess.
No, that's a thing. Like, you can court them in, too.
Oh, can you?
Yeah.
Oh, I was trying. All right.
And I think you can also pick a female character and court anybody. That's kind of like the thing with Rune Factories. Like, it's part Harvest Moon and part, like, dungeon-crawling RPG. And...
Oh, what was it? It's not on your list, but there was a game that I saw that was coming out where it was like boyfriend weapon or something like that, where it's like...
Oh, sure.
Your weapon... It's kind
Boyfriend
of like that
Dungeon.
Show. Yeah, thank you. It's like, what was the title again?
Boyfriend Dungeon.
Boyfriend Dungeon.
It's like Soul Eater.
Yes, I was going to say, it's a lot like Soul Eater, you know, except, you know, probably a lot more.
Your boyfriend turns into a sword and you beat people with it?
Yeah, and then you fuck.
Oh.
On the corpses. It's dirty.
While it's still in the sword form, or?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
If you I mean, want. It's kink, whatever. You know, everyone's got their, you know.
We don't shame anybody.
We don't
here.
Slut shame. Yeah, that's fine.
It's like, hey, if I'm the sword, you're the scabbard. Let's do this. What?
So that's the sort of confirmed for 2021 lineup that we have so far. And Wes, like you were saying, there is a Nintendo first party game.
Yeah.
And that is a Wii U port.
God damn it. It's
But I will take a deep breath. They do this every year. Every year at the beginning of the year, we have no idea what Nintendo is doing.
Okay.
So they're going to announce things. But there are some games, and I think they're worth mentioning, that are not confirmed for 2021. They're just to be announced. So there's a possibility that these games come out in 2021. Games like Breath of the Wild 2.
Okay.
It's possible.
Heard of it.
Yep. Bayonetta 3.
All right.
Also a possibility.
So do you play the other two?
You'd like them.
I think I would like them.
They're like legit, like, heavy combo based action games.
And it's a chick with big boobs. I mean, come on.
Very spindly, like a spider.
Yeah, I'm on board.
Yeah, really long limbs.
Yeah.
If you're into that kind of thing.
Just no wrap up like a pretzel with her. I mean, come on, let's go.
She's the pretzel, you're the hot dog.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Metroid Prime 4. It's possible that that game comes out in 2021.
That would be for real.
I think, you know, I'd give it a slim chance of 2021 since they had to restart development entirely at the beginning of 2019. But it's possible. Hollow Knight Silksong. That game's another game that could come out in 2021.
I don't know why it wouldn't. Like,
mm.
I mean, Hollow Knight is not like the most fucking complex looking game in the world. I know they crafted a fantastic game, and yeah, it's very tight and refined. But
and I think that Silksong's got a pretty good chance because it has been in development for so long. What happened was they got into feature creep. So Silksong was supposed to be an add-on for Hollow Knight, and then just started like having more ideas and adding more to it. They're like, never mind, it's a new game. So they've added, like, of course, like, it's new terrain, new environment. You're playing as a new character. There's all a bunch of new enemies and, like, side quests and main quests and all that stuff. It's aside from the visuals, it's entirely new. So I'm sure that the fact that they kept adding to it is what kept it from coming out sooner. So I think it's got a pretty decent shot at being a 2021 game, which would be cool.
Yeah.
And then Pokemon Snap. New Pokemon Snap.
Oh, I forgot they were doing this.
Yeah, so did I, until someone on the Discord mentioned it, because I sent the list to the Discord group as well. And I'm like, oh, hey, what about Pokemon Snap? Like, that is a game that exists. Holy, you forgot
that they're doing that.
It is not confirmed for 2021. It was just coming soon when they did the trailer. But, you know, maybe. I think it's got a decent shot of being a 2021 game.
I mean, that's a 5 for me. That's a day one.
I figured.
Shut up and take my money.
Mm.
Just, ugh, my body is ready. Let's yeah, grease up and go.
I think this
is escalating.
I think it's going to be cool. It's going to be cool. And I think that they'll probably come up with a, maybe a more, what's the word I'm looking for? Maybe a deeper gameplay mechanic. But it'll probably be like just taking pictures. I don't know if you'll end up being on rails, maybe for a bit of the game. But I think like, just in terms of the scope of the game, it will be more in-depth than just the sort of on-rails, ride your train along.
I think that'd be so cool if you can drive around and then stop and take pictures and stuff. Mm. I think that'd be really cool if you have free roam.
I think that it would be wise of them to also have different ways to interact rather than just throwing apples. Keep throwing apples, sure. But then, like, give a couple of other things you can throw, too.
Maybe you can grab a Pokemon and throw it.
Oh yeah, they like just like, swing the Rattata by its tail
and just chuck it.
But just like the fact that there are now lots more than 150, like there's like what, 900 Pokemon now.
People are going to complain that they're not all in it.
That would be hilarious.
You know what? You know what they should respond with? They're in there. You just haven't found them yet.
But yeah, I think
there's a game you missed that could be like a what was it? Untitled Goose Game?
Hit me.
Caliber sort of scenario. Skatebird.
Oh, sure.
Is coming.
Yeah.
And that's a game that's kind of already, I think, been out for a little. I don't know if it's been out on other consoles or whatever, but it just looks so fucking silly that it could be fun. It's like a retro skating game where you're a bird.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of has that appeal to it. Looks like dumb fun.
Yeah.
So, that's out there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like tons of other games that you didn't bring up, but I couldn't say which ones look like they might be of interest to anybody.
Yeah. So, I don't know about you guys, but I think it's a pretty solid lineup so far.
Are we going to grade it?
Well,
A plus?
I mean,
maybe.
Plus.
So here's
the five.
So here's the thing, like we were saying, Nintendo has one first party game and it's a port confirmed for 2021 so far. If Nintendo just is able to like get out 6 or 7 first party games, like this could very much rival 2017 for best Switch year. Like Scott Pilgrim, Cyber Shadow, Little Nightmares, Bravely Default, Monster Hunter, these are just the games that I'm interested in. Shin Megami Tensei, No More Heroes, Sports Story, Axiom Verge, like this is a legit lineup. This is really good.
I think if anything it looks like there's a lot of JRPG stuff going on.
Yeah, there's.
I think that crowd is going to be real, real pumped about this coming year.
But you know, even like outside of JRPGs, you got.
But no, there's plenty of other good stuff.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with my Switch being a JRPG machine. I'm perfectly fine with that.
But it's also nice to see, like, original efforts from, like, what we were talking about for 2020 is, like, there weren't a whole lot of, like, big third parties putting out original content, but you're getting original content from Square and Atlas, who's finally showing up. Capcom is really bringing it in 2021 with two Monster Hunter games and the Arcade Stadium and Ghosts and Goblins. You're getting stuff from Falcom and Nisa and Grasshopper.
Why do you think that's happening now?
I think it's far enough into the Switch life cycle. So here's the thing with Nintendo consoles is for probably about 15 years now, it's been treated like a sort of second-class console ecosystem where
it's the short bus of consoles.
The general stigma was like, oh, only first-party games sell. So there's always like this thing with big third parties. Okay, we need to wait and see how this console does before we start putting content on it. And you saw that a lot with the GameCube. And you saw it a little bit on the Wii, where you get like these sort of half-hearted efforts from big third parties because they couldn't ignore 100 million install base on the system. And then, you know, of course, you see the Wii U. A lot of third parties from the beginning hold back because they want to see how it does. It's turned out to be justified, sadly. And you saw it on Switch as well, where big third parties held back for the first year or so. So now you're starting to see those efforts that they probably started up in year two or three of the Switch finally coming to fruition. Now that we're getting into the fourth year of this system, all these games are starting to show up. And that's not to say like Square Enix hasn't put games on the system. Like they did Octopath Traveler, and they ported all those Final Fantasy games. Atlas, until they did Catherine Full Body Edition last year, hadn't put a game on the system. Falcom.
Well, thank God they did that.
Right. They realized, oh shit, we gotta get something on this system real quick. Quick. They had announced Shin Megami Tensei 5 close to the launch of the system. That one's been in the works for quite some time. Falcom directly said a couple years back that they thought their audience was on PlayStation and they didn't think their audience was on Switch. And now they're bringing like three games to the system this year. So they've changed their minds a bit on that.
I was kind of wondering if that had something to do with it. If this was sort of, a lot of these studios were sort of seeing the trajectory of where the three major players in the console markets were going.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe saying, okay, Nintendo could be the long-term answer. Not just even with the Switch, but through whatever happens for the next 4 or 5 years with the console.
Yeah, and I think that there's definitely an advantage to companies like Atlas and Falcom, these sort of developers and publishers who don't make AAA software, there is an advantage to being a medium-sized fish in a medium-sized pond. Whereas, you know, if they're putting games onto systems where you have like a Bethesda and CD Projekt Red and EA making all these really jank, broken games, like that's still like sucking up all the oxygen in the room. You're not going to get much attention with games like East 9 and Trail of Cold Steel on those other systems. You're a much smaller player. Whereas, you know, you're putting them out on Nintendo systems, you got an okay chance of Nintendo promoting your game for you.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because that's sort of like the audience. That's the sort of like ecosystem that they're trying to build. Anyway. I wonder where Sega's at this year. They haven't announced anything for 2021 yet. Where are they at?
Altered Beast 2 is finally coming out.
Ooh, Golden Axe.
Oh, it's going to be a year.
It's funny because like the best Sega property game that came to Switch in 2020 was Streets of Rage 4, and Sega didn't make it.
Ouch.
Well,
last year. There is like a retro Sega store that was like this, you know, like kind of famous place, and they finally closed their shop down.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Like all they carried was Sega stuff, so it was Sega hardware, Sega software, like their, you know, cartridges and discs and all that stuff.
Well, there's definitely an end point to that. After the year 2000, you don't get any Sega hardware anymore.
Yeah. I mean it was certainly a store for retro, and I'm sure they sold like other kind of retro stuff associated with it, but yeah, you know. The era ended. And the era ended a long time ago, but they finally buried the body. So good for them.
Well, is there anything you guys think the Switch needs in 2021 as we close out here? Is there anything that you would like to see happen with the Switch?
Cup holder?
Yeah, cup holder. Maybe on the Switch Pro. Switch Pro doesn't exist. It's not real.
You say that, but...
I know, right? I'm jinxing it.
We were making jokes about the Switch Lite, and here it is.
Oh, we were making jokes about both of them, about the Switch Lite and the Switch Pro. One, we were still 50% correct, I will point out.
RAM expansion.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe like a little cart that you got to plug into the bottom.
Yeah, I want the memory card to be able to play games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like a dream. Also, I want to be able to use a Dreamcast controller. Let's get that. Let's fucking get that in the works. Why don't we? I really don't know. That kind of put me on the spot there. I'm sure there's some stuff I'd love to see happen with it.
I mean, I say the same thing.
A more robust workshop would be nice. A way to because you know, in Steam has the workshop, and it's a very useful tool for games. And I know that it's difficult to do that for consoles, just in general. Like, it's not a Nintendo thing. It's all consoles struggle to implement these well. But it would be nice to see if they could find ways to embrace the modding community for some of the games, or just to find ways, if they know they're not going to break the game, like, just go ahead and include a texture pack if someone makes one, or maybe, you know, find ways to manipulate the way the games work.
Mm.
If it's like a RPG game, like, come up with some other builds or something, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it... As we discussed, games are easy to make. Making a game is very, very simple.
Yeah.
Easy process. Yeah.
No, but I think whatever way they implement it, I think that would be kind of cool to have more direct input from the community that plays these games that would have fun creating mods for the games.
I might be mistaken, but I think Skyrim on Switch does support mods. The Witcher 3 might as well.
Oh,
but I think it's very much, if that sort of thing does exist, is very much like up to the publisher of the game to figure out a way to support it. Nintendo...
Yeah.
Doesn't do it themselves, and they probably won't, but they should. Like, it'd be really cool to see them sort of embrace
consider that a wish list item.
Skyrim and Fallout 4 have some minor mods available for it, but it's pretty much what the developer has released for it that people have made. They kind of have like a separate kind of shop that you can buy sort of like special ones that work real well, and then they have their own separate thing you can download for free of other things the community has made, but they're made. It's a much smaller list than what you're going to find online on PC. It's just going to be massive. But the ones that they've released throughout on the console are much more... It's smaller, but there's some good stuff on there.
Okay.
So they can do that sort of thing. I want to see fucking Dokapon Kingdom.
Mm.
I want to see it right now. Give me a Switch version of this.
Oh, hey, Atlas has finally shown up to the party. Maybe I'll write them a letter.
Come on, get there. Can we write them a letter? I would like to write them a letter.
We can write them an email.
Can we do that?
Sure, we can.
All right, let's write them an email.
If we demand Dokapon Kingdom.
We'll attach pictures of all of our dicks.
Why?
And, you know, it's...
Just, Atlas, you
can we just... Can
preempted thank you. Preempted thank you.
Can we just take a picture of yours three times?
It is the most impressive out of the three bars.
So. Mm. Well-groomed, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the carpet does not match the drapes. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah. It's not even a natural body color, too, which I find interesting. Why is it purple?
So.
Oh, yeah, we have a podcast dedicated to it. And I know Snap is coming. Snap is coming. Pokemon.
Okay.
Snap is coming out. But, like, do you think that even if there's not a release of any further expansions, do you think we may hear what's next for Pokemon?
I think we might.
Gen 9?
Game Freak has, in so many words, said that they do have plans for Pokemon this year, because I think it's an anniversary year. It's probably like some sort of like a factor of 5 that...
They're going to bring us Diamond?
You know, it's possible to do a Gen 4 remake, you know? We'll
yes,
see.
Because it was... I was looking this up. Red and Blue came out like 2.5 years earlier in Japan than it did in the US, and it was in 96, which would make this the 25th.
Okay.
Right? 25th anniversary.
Sense. Yeah, we'll see. So I'm sure there'll be some sort of Pokemon content, whether it be an expansion or an announcement of a new game. You know, we'll get something there, which would be great. There are a lot, like you mentioned, there are a lot of RPGs on the list. Also, you know, a handful of like action games and indie games. It'd be nice to get a couple more platformers on the list, specifically 2D platformers, because I like those style of games.
Yeah.
Bionic
Commando.
Bionic Commando. Maybe like a Kirby.
I'm not
Kirby.
Kidding. You really should. I know it's an older game, and it might feel a little blocky when you play it, but Bionic Commando really is a fun game and totally worth revisiting in spite of it being however many years old.
Do you play it NES or arcade?
NES.
The arcade version might perform better. Probably looks better,
probably.
Too.
I remember playing, because the bowling alley I went to as a kid, the old Colonial Lanes, in fact, had a Street Fighter II arcade cabinet there, and I played that there. And I remember it looking so much better and playing so much better than what my Super Nintendo would play. I still love the shit out of it and played it a ton on both, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that would be kind of interesting to go back and experience.
Yeah, throughout the mid to late 80s into the early 90s, a lot of these games that were arcade games first get downported to home console versions. So, you know, you're especially going to NES, you're sacrificing a lot of visual fidelity and playability.
You know, even then, like, Street Fighter II World Warriors still dropped frames. It was not really... There are times where it's not really a smooth thing. Like, if you're trying to, like... If Dalsim is doing his big yoga flame while someone's trying to, like, walk around or doing a cross-up and, like, jump over them or something, you're going to see, like, drastic drop in frames. Like, whenever Bison does literally anything, you drop frames. It's funny. Like, I'm sure that the arcade version will play a lot smoother and probably look a lot better.
Mm.
But that's just an observation.
Cool. Well, I mention it every time we talk about what we want on a Switch. Advance Wars. Fatal Frame.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
Take either one of those, or both.
Yeah.
Fine with both. You know what else would be cool, and I'm surprised they have not done it yet, because they've released, Square Enix has released Final Fantasy 7, 8, 9, 10, and 12. I'm surprised they haven't done a collection of 1 through 6, the NES and Super Nintendo games. It'd be cool to see that. I'd play through all those old games again.
You would, but...
I'd be the only one. It's fine. I'll do it alone. But yeah. I think we're getting to the end here.
Yeah.
We should do a Pokemon show next. I think that's one of the things we got next.
But what are we going to discuss?
Well, no. I started up a run of Pokemon Sun. I'm doing the Gen 7 run.
All
right. We can talk about that if you want. Play a quiz game.
Either a quiz game or... I mean, I don't know if we could do a ranking. Maybe we could, like... Have we done a ranking of the Galar Pokemon?
No.
Just the Galar in general?
Yeah, all of the new editions. Maybe including the Galar forms, if you feel so inclined. It can't be that many, right? How many do you think that would be? Like 40 Pokemon, maybe? 50?
Maybe. Final forms only, right?
Yeah.
It'd
probably be good to split it into two podcasts if it's a lot.
Yeah.
We'll do 1 month of the lower and then...
Yeah, or we could just exclude the Galar and cut the list down by like 10.
Mm.
Just a thought.
We can discuss this on air.
Off
air.
Yeah, it might be kind of fun. But yeah, so we'll do a Pokemon show and then probably a retro show after that. But you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
Neither here nor there. That's it. That's the end. Till next time.
So long.
Sayonara, Chin Chin. Thank you.